Next on BYUSN with Cougar football sitting at 9-1 and in the hunt for a spot in the college football playoff. Is it make the playoff or bust for the Cougars? With a potential spot in the Big 12 championship as well up for grabs, Saturday's game against Arizona State has the most at stake for BYU since when?
We'll break down Arizona State's special season with what to watch for Saturday with Chris Cartman, who covers the Sun Devils for 247 Sports and the newest Deep Blue. Features an emotional look inside BYU football's True Blue Heroes program, and I promise you, you will not want to miss this.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you at least watch the Deep Blue video. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. This Thursday, November 21st, I am Jeremy Jordan. He is vintage Jason Shepherd. What did vintage Jason Shepherd look like?
I'm going to answer that question in just a minute. But first, let's look at what vintage Jimmer looked like, because this happened yesterday. He was on campus. He was at the BYU store signing some autographs.
Thanks for coming and saying hi, Jimmer.
He said hi to me. He didn't. But this was an interaction with Jimmer as he was signing some autographs. Take a look or a listen.
In a book.
That is phenomenal right there. That's vintage Jimmer right there. That's the vintage old school. This was when I was like, I think I was fifth grade right here. I was telling everybody that I was going to the NBA and I was looking like this and they were all like, are you kidding me? And I was like, it's gonna happen, okay? So, but I was going to BYU first. Gotta sign this, man. Can I get a copy of this?
So picture of...
He should have that picture in his
house. Two things that are hilarious to me about this.
Alan Kay have that photo.
Number one, that the guy just printed it off.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Number two, that Jimmer's like, I want a copy of this. You would think he would have that.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, what was fifth grade Shep like? Mm-hmm. We have a picture if you'd like to take a look.
Do we really?
We really do.
Yes! The suit jacket is super spicy there.
But you gotta remember,
look at you, bro.
This was.
Look at the hair.
Look,
what year is this?
That's fifth grade.
Which is?
So that's.
What year?
That would have been 10 and 11, 10 to 11. Yeah. So, but you gotta put
it. You were held back 2 years, were you not?
You gotta put it into context on the years, though, because that's like right in the heart of the 80s.
Yes, Stranger Things.
That would have been 86 through 87, that year.
So we're talking Bob Jensen.
So we're talking like Don Johnson, the jacket, I promise you, you can't see it, but the sleeves were rolled up. And I will not hear anybody making fun of that picture, because in my opinion of that picture, it may be the best picture I've ever taken.
Really?
I don't know if you noticed either. The back, only
can we,
the
can
back,
we bring it back?
Was
can we
permed.
See it again?
Permed.
Only the back was
only
permed?
Only the back.
Wow. Wow. My kid's got pink hair right now because he wanted to dye it this way.
That's
great, dude.
Fifth grade picture.
That's
there
great.
You go.
That's awesome. There it is.
There it is.
Only permed in the back.
Only permed in the back.
Some nice lettuce. You would, with that haircut, you would fit on the BYU baseball team right now. All rise and shout. It is time for What's Trending.
BYU needs essentially to just beat Arizona State, and they're in the Big 12 championship.
The legacy of this team is based on how they finish.
I do feel the sense of urgency in practice this week has been there.
It better be, because this huge game with Arizona State coming up Saturday. BYU football, number 14 in the country, 9-1 in a battle with ASU for a spot in the Big 12 title game potentially. There are tie-breaking scenarios and whatnot we'll lay out should BYU lose, but we're not going to go there.
Let's not think that.
Until
Let's not think
it happens.
That
way. We're thinking win. Cougars are trying to hold on, Jason, to not fizzle out at the end here. Had a 9-0 start. This weekend feels massive. So, given preseason expectations, 9-0 start. Is it a playoff or bust situation for BYU football?
Look, I can't go there. I just can't. And look, we are all hoping. And look, there's a real chance BYU still can do this, all right?
Yeah.
It's not crazy
win
that BYU can
in.
Go down and beat Arizona State, okay? And then I think BYU, at bare minimum this year, is going to have 10 wins, at bare minimum.
That's not saying a lot, though.
But I'm
That's saying one out of the next
No, but what I'm saying is you put that into context on what the entire free world pegged BYU at before the
Saudi year. Arabia had 6 wins for BYU.
I can't go down that road that if BYU stumbles towards the end and gets left out of the college football playoff, that the season is a bust. Everybody and their grandma was expecting 4 or 5 wins this year. And BYU is going to more than double that.
We need to pull all of Orem to find out if that's accurate.
I just can't get behind that if... And we're all going to be it's going to stink if BYU doesn't make it, especially because of where they were and the position that they put themselves in. Yeah. So if they don't make it, it's certainly – there's going to be a lot of heartbroken BYU fans, and there's going to be a lot of heartbroken BYU players and coaches if they don't make it. But I just can't go down that road that it is a bust season if they don't make it. This team's still going to get, again, in my opinion, at least a minimum of 10 wins, and you're still going to go to a very good bowl game this year, even if it's not in the college football playoff. So I just can't get behind the playoff or bust scenario.
Yeah, and what is bust in this conversation? Bust is Utah's season. That's a bust. They were expected to be in the playoff, win this league. They're not even close. They may not make a bowl game. That's a bust, okay? And any team like it. I'm not pointing out Utah specific. Well, I am because it's Rem. I am. Okay, BYU, it's not a bust. If you win 10-plus games and you go to Alamo or Liberty or Pop-Tart, you know, there's a space between this is the best thing ever, amazing playoff, and bust. There's a space there. In fact, it's closer to playoff than not of we won double-digit games. We overachieved, over-succeeded the standard. You go to a good bowl game. Can you finish with the – BYU could finish with 11 or 12 wins and not go to the playoffs.
I know. So
that scenario exists, which is crazy. You beat – let's say BYU loses to Arizona State, beats Houston – doesn't get the tiebreaker, doesn't go to the Big 12 title game, goes to a bowl game and wins, you're talking about a 12-win season. Now, certainly, as you heard in that music video, the legacy of this team is going to depend on how they finish here. If they can get to the playoff, get to the Big 12 title game, give themselves a chance, they have a chance to be one of the top 10 greatest BYU teams.
Yes.
They also have a chance to slip into the 0-1 and 90 category, where those teams were in the top 10 late in the season like this and lost a couple games at the end, and they fizzled out, and we're disappointed with how those seasons ended up. But there's a lot of in front of BYU still. The hope is that they can get to the Big 12 title game and have a chance to get to the playoff. Like we talked about, there's not an at-large two-loss thing for BYU into the playoff. But there is a, hey, beat Arizona State, and there's even a lose to Arizona State situation where you can still get into the Big 12 title game. You need Kansas to beat Colorado. You need Kansas State to beat Iowa State. Among them, so which are not crazy, by the way. I just dissed Utah. Let me credit Utah with something. Spencer said this on the air or off the air yesterday to me. Utah teams that play Utah the next week are like 2-7. They just get beat up. The physicality of the Utes. Is Colorado going to be that team against Kansas this week? You're rooting for Kansas.
Yeah, you did.
You're rooting for Kansas if you're a BYU team.
You were all about not liking Kansas last week. Well, now
we're about liking
the Jayhawks.
Absolutely. They can completely reshape the Big 12 picture. They have with Iowa State, kind of pushing them to the back. They've knocked BYU off the undefeated perch, although BYU's still in first in the Big 12. So back to playoffs or bust. It's not a bust, but it would be extremely disappointing, a la 0-1 and 90. Where 90 was in the top five for like 6 weeks. They were awesome. And then you lose a couple games to Hawaii and then Texas A&M in the bowl game. And you're like, you know, we don't talk about 90 as one of the great years. We talk about the Heisman and the Miami game. But we should be talking about the Dominator and Luke Staley in 01 as one of the great seasons. We don't because they lost the last two. So the importance of the Arizona State game cannot be overstated at this point.
Yeah, look, of all the scenarios that are out there, the one that BYU is really hoping for is that they just continue to win. And then everything else takes care of itself. You win your final two regular season games, then you are for sure in the Big 12 title game, and then you go win that and you get the at-large bid. You take it out of the hands of anybody that's making decisions on at-large. Now, if things...
there is no at-large. It's for BYU with two losses, it would seem. They're not going to out-at-large Georgia
and they may not
Alabama.
Be, based off of what they have shown so far, they probably are not going to give BYU the benefit of the doubt with one loss as an at-large. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, there's no – that's not a scenario that will happen, the one loss at-large, right?
It's just –
you either win the Big 12 title game or you don't.
That's where it's at right now.
And so, if you win, it's not an at-large, it's automatic. If you lose, you're two loss. So one loss at-large doesn't exist.
So BYU can control. And what I do like about this scenario is that BYU, how many times all year long have we talked about it, the players talked about it, that they feel a little slighted, right? And those are the games where BYU has come out and in most cases played their best football. And it's when they felt disrespected going to UCF as an underdog, when they were the team that was on a roll and UCF was on a losing streak. And when they go to these, you know, it's usually happened in these road games where they felt they were being disrespected. And obviously we know BYU's not lost on the road so far this year.
They're one of four teams that are at least 5-0 or better on the road. Oregon is one of the others.
I like the scenario that is playing out right now, that this BYU team is a little upset with the way things are playing out nationally. They're a little upset with,
oh, they dropped us 8 spots. Yep. We're a dog. Yeah. Whatever you want to summon.
This team has fed off of that all year long. And I think that bodes well for this team this week.
The difference, I guess, in this game is that Arizona State is a better opponent than they have played in this situation on the road.
I would agree with you on that.
This year. In fact, you look at kind of BYU's road games. At SMU, that's the best road team you've played all year. That was early. That was an incredible performance. No touchdowns allowed. You win by 3. Best win by far on the schedule. At Wyoming, at Baylor, at UCF, at Utah. Most of those teams have a losing record, except for SMU and Baylor at this point, right? So you haven't played the toughest road schedule given the quality of those teams and whatnot. But they're Power Four opponents. Like, this is a new era for BYU. These are all tough games. Huge game with Arizona State. And by the way, I want to bring up what we were talking about with the playoffs or bust. It's like, and I brought it up yesterday, reacting to the playoff poll. I am surprised by how many people are like, oh, man, it would stink to be an 11 or 12 seed in the playoff and not get that bye. I'm like, are you serious? Being in the playoffs would be amazing.
Yeah.
BYU is not so good that we can be picky about seeding to me. Right. Like, BYU is very good, but they're not, like, blowing fools out and deserve X, Y, Z. You got to win to deserve a bye. Like, BYU will pass Boise State, should they win the next 3? I firmly believe that. My argument yesterday for it. But the idea of being disappointed by some seed in the playoff, are you serious? You got to beat Arizona State just to have a chance to beat Houston, to have a chance to get in the Big 12 title game. Like, all these dominoes have to fall before we worry about that.
Here's one of the other differences in the Arizona State game that is different from the other scenarios that we were just talking about. They have a lot to play for. They're 100%. Playing for as much as BYU is.
Yes.
So that is a different dynamic that BYU has not faced late in the year like this in the previous scenarios.
Yes.
But it still doesn't take away the way BYU has responded in these situations.
It's a better team than BYU's played, you know, the last couple of weeks. Like, Utah was tough for the obvious reasons of rival, and there's quality across that Utah roster. They haven't played well on offense specifically, right? Yeah. Oh, here we go, Arizona State.
All right, so it goes without saying that Saturday is a massive game, and it's not just for this season, but what this season could become, and what this season could become not just right now, but down the road when we look back on this year. Yeah. There's a lot at stake. So the Arizona State game has the most at stake for BYU football since when? We kind of touched on some of these.
Yes, and Spencer and I were talking about it a little bit earlier this week, but let's formalize it. Since last week, you were number 6 and 9-0. How is it bigger than anything before that?
And it's the next one.
If you have to go before this year, 2021 Boise State, BYU's 5-0, they're number 10. They're at home on October 9th, and they lose at home. That was a tough one because you were in the top 10 right there. 22, you're 2-0, you're number 12, you're at Oregon, you get blown out. That sticks out. If you're talking late in the season like this, Shep, November, December games, Coastal Carolina.
Yep.
That was an early December game in 2020. BYU's trying to crack into a New Year's 6 game. They play it on a short week, like Wednesday. They're like, all right, we're doing this. And then they go and they come up 1 yard short. That was tough. And I will never watch these highlights and not feel strong emotion. Here's the last play. Oh, it's so tough.
So close.
So tough.
And the hits on Zach.
Zach Wilson before the end of the first half still riles me up. I don't like watching those clips. It makes me upset. You know how the Chargers a couple weeks ago, Justin Herbert, kind of got twisted up and the offensive lineman just smashed that guy. I was like, that's what I wanted to see from BYU going to the locker room. It's a big game.
Yep.
Name your game, and I'll agree with you. It's a huge game.
You touched on one. The very first scenario that came to my mind when I thought of this question was 2001, where BYU...
That far.
Yeah, when BYU was going for the BCS, and it looked like BYU was going to do it, and they were being slighted.
So 12-0,
so
headed to Hawaii.
12-0.
You beat Mississippi State on a 9-11 rescheduled game.
But in that game, Luke Staley gets hurt, breaks the ankle, and then he's out. And then you go to Hawaii and they put up a 72 spot on you.
Brandon Doman dislocated his shoulder in the game.
And it all falls apart. But that season, that was the one where BYU was going to be the BCS buster.
Yes.
And so for me, that was the very first scenario since that came to my mind. You know, I mean, and another one that was brought up, Wyoming in 1996. That 1990, I mean, and a lot of
you're
these
12-1 at that point.
Yeah, a lot of these, you look at them after the fact. You know they're big at the time, but then when you look back on them and you realize just how big that was, obviously, in the WAC championship
this is
game.
Almost in black and white. Like, it's not in black and white, but it's almost. By the way, I'm standing on the field under the left field goal post in there.
Right I see
there.
You.
Yeah,
no,
there.
I don't.
I'm 13 at the time. Yeah, Spence was up there.
But do you have a perm in the back of your hair?
I did not. I was not as cool as you. That's for sure. Our question of the day is this. Did you have a perm when you were little or no? Are your expectations for BYU football right now to make the college football playoff or bust? What do you think? This is a polarizing question, right? At Y for Life 1984. You got it in the handle. On X. That's the hope, but this team wasn't even supposed to make a bowl game in the preseason. The season was never a college football playoff or bust. Although at this point, it would be a letdown if they don't at least make the Big 12 title game. That's the hope, right? You got to win Saturday to feel like you have a great shot. If BYU does not beat Arizona State, there are scenarios where they can still make it, but they have to beat Houston and scoreboard watch, okay?
Yeah, you're relying on other people to lose.
Yes, people put those scenarios out. We're going to put them out on Monday should BYU lose, but we are thinking about a win right now. We're trying to manifest that reality. At WalterJames_6 on X. Conference championship is the goal. The chips will fall where they will after. Yeah, 100%. You got to get to that game, and then now you have to win said game.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Speaking of big, there's 4 games left in the regular season for BYU women's volleyball. What's at stake for the Cougars? Because they got a big one tonight hosting Cincinnati.
This should be in the NCAA tournament, and this is a team that has played 4 or 5 freshmen consistently all year, by the way. They should not have been this good. I think they have overachieved. Not in the same way football has, but like that direction. Of a freshman setter, and you have a sophomore outside, a sophomore middle blocker that are your best players. You have 1 senior in the lineup. You have essentially no juniors, or 1 junior in Hannah Billiter. They have 4 games left. Cincinnati, West Virginia should win those 2 at home this week. Then they go to Kansas for Kansas, who's top 10, Kansas State. If BYU goes 4-0, I think they could sneak into the top 16 and host the first and second rounds. If not, they'll have to go on the road. But their RPI, KPI are top 20. Strength of schedule is number 3 in the country right now, by the way. They probably scheduled too hard for this young team, but they've answered pretty well, and 6 of their 8 losses are in 5 sets, the overtime of volleyball. They played pretty well, so I'm excited to see what they do.
Well, and this is one of the programs on campus that you just always expect the best out of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it. Very similarly, now obviously the season is over now for BYU women's soccer, but we just expect this team to be in the NCAA tournament and make waves. And this was a team this year that early on didn't look like it had a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. And then not only that.
Talking about soccer.
Okay. And then they do it. So I put women's volleyball and women's soccer sort of up on this pedestal on the expectations are always
super
so high,
high
because they always meet them.
And volleyball has been in the top 25 poll for almost 11 straight years. Yeah. It's an incredible run. It's crazy. Okay, Foos Traore's sister Miriam signed with BYU women's basketball yesterday. Is there a Molly to BYU pipeline now?
It certainly looks like it. Look, why not?
With Kaba Kato as well?
Kaba is awesome. Look, it's really cool. And
congratulations.
And I believe that Miriam had committed about a year ago because we had heard this and then hadn't heard anything, but then it was made official yesterday. And look, it's cool, like, because we need to have a Traore on campus. When one leaves, another one enters.
Always. There needs to be at least one.
We need to keep that legacy rolling, right?
Yeah. This reminds me of the Sander brothers, because Taylor Sander was this, to me, is the second best player BYU's ever had in men's volleyball. Then his younger brother, Brendan, came like right after he graduated, so we had 8 straight years. We could have 8 straight years of a Traore at the Marriott Center. That's awesome, man.
Well, and it was cool because he went on social media and proud of you, little sis.
Of course,
like, it was cool.
He can show her around town. Like, you know,
I would imagine she's probably been here a few times.
That's probably the case.
Probably true.
Yeah, and it sounds like she's living in the States playing high school basketball.
Correct, yes. Okay. Yeah, she is in the United States, I believe. She is in California somewhere. So,
nice.
All right. Coming up, Saturday's broadcast schedule. We got a lot of stuff.
Yes, we do.
BYU Sports Nation game day at 1:30 Eastern time on BYU TV. Cougar pregame live also at 1:30 Eastern time, this one on BYU radio. Then, number 14 BYU at number 21 Arizona State will kick off at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN and BYU radio. Pregame coverage beginning immediately, and then pregame coverage begins immediately following the game on BYU TV and BYU Radio for basketball and stuff.
Yes.
So we got all this stuff.
Oh, by the way, women's hoops as well.
You
and I are doing women's hoops and men's hoops.
Yep. Yes.
Up next, we'll get the inside scoop on Arizona State from Chris Cartman, who covers the Sun Devils for 24/7 Sports. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
If you missed the beginning of the show, you missed a picture from fifth grade of Jason where he had a perm in the back, which is awesome. I think you should go back to that. You just need to grow your hair out. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Jerem. He is the not-permed Jason Shepherd. Here are today's headlines.
Number 14, BYU football continues to prepare for Saturday's game against number 21, Arizona State. After practice yesterday, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick spoke to the media about how the offense has addressed the struggles in the red zone from last week.
And we've been very good in that part of the field all season. And this game, we just didn't finish. And there was blame to go around. You know, I have to do a better job for the team. We had various position groups who made mistakes in that area of the field. Things, you know, you can't panic. You just got to keep working at it. And like I said, we've been good in that area of the field all year. So now it's time to just keep working and get ready to play this week.
Pre-game coverage for Saturday's game begins at 1:30 Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Here's Arizona State head coach Kenny Dillingham on what he has seen from his team in practice this week and what version of BYU he expects to see on Saturday.
We got to get an edge about us. You know, I didn't like our edge today. I think we're a little bit too comfortable. We're going to get the best version of BYU this week. The very best. The very best that they've been all year, we're about to get at home, right? And if we're not prepared for that, right, then it's not going to be good.
I like watching him on the sideline, very animated with his team. It's fun to watch. Arizona State needs a win over BYU to stay alive in the race for the Big 12 championship game. BYU technically does not, although it really helped if they did. Sun Devils currently 3-point favorite.
BYU running back Hinkley Ropati spoke to the media about how the BYU offense matches up with the Sun Devil defense.
They got good athletes, you know what I mean? I think we match up with them pretty well, you know what I mean? They got good athletes all across the board, that sort. And so they play hard, they run hard, you know what I mean? And I think, but I don't think it's anything that we haven't seen this year, you know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, like I said, it comes down to us executing our plays and doing what we can, you know what I mean? So,
look, and the Cougar offense looking to get back on track, scoring a season low 13 points in the loss last Saturday to Kansas.
Hinkley Ropati should have been in the Book of Mormon videos with the stripping wars if he wasn't.
Let me.
I think if he wasn't, that was a real mistake.
One day,
it was an opportunity.
I would like to look as fit as Hinkley Ropati.
You don't? I thought you did.
No.
What? Why not?
Apparently, I don't work hard.
You do work hard. I know you get up early, man. Arizona State quarterback Sam Levin on what he's seen on tape from the BYU defense.
They're masters of confusion, so they do a lot of stuff up front and within the box and give you different looks and stuff like that. But, you know, I found a really good key strategy for me. I'm obviously not going to tell y'all. you know, but to tell me what they're in and, you know, where people are going to be at and stuff like that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're the quarterback and you know where people are going to be at, you're not going to put the ball in jeopardy.
Masters of Confusion.
That's a great phrase. I was just thinking that.
It's a good band
name.
Dude,
who's opening up for Angels and Airwaves? Masters of Confusion, dude. They have that like, amazing single.
I love them.
Levitt's dad and brother both played at BYU, by the way, so there is a connection.
All right, we were just talking about this. Number 24 women's volleyball hosts Cincinnati tonight in a Big 12 conference game at the Smith Fieldhouse. BYU comes into tonight riding a two-game winning streak. You can watch the game beginning at 9 Eastern on ESPN+ with that guy.
Yeah, baby. Miriam Traore, Foose's sister, signed with BYU women's basketball yesterday. Miriam, like Foose, is from Mali. She comes to BYU via Bella Vista High School. Congratulations to the whole fam.
BYU swim and dive both compete today in the state of Texas. Swim team continues to compete at the Texas Invitational, while the dive team begins competing at the SMU Invite.
It's Nationals Week. weekend for BYU men's soccer. They're at the IRSA National Championships in Round Rock, Texas. This morning they beat Nebraska 4-0. They play Boston later tonight. Best of luck to the Cougs, who have been winning the national championship for several years now and winning it convincingly. Got to play like two games a day for the next several days. Best of luck to the boys. After the break, the newest Deep Blue tells the incredible story of True Hunt, whose miracle resonates beyond the football field. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Well, each week the BYU football team invites a fan to practice to be celebrated as True Blue heroes. These fans are overcoming or fighting their own hurdles in life. This is Deep Blue featuring the story of True Hunt, one of this year's True Blue heroes.
It has always been my dream to take my kids to Hawaii, and the opportunity arose, and we were super excited about it. True started out the trip having the time of his life, playing in the ocean and sand with his brothers and sisters. He was so happy to be there, and I started to notice that he started slowing down and wasn't acting like himself. In my gut, I knew something wasn't right, but I just kept trying to fight it, thinking, we're on vacation, you know? He's gonna be okay. We don't wanna go to the ER on vacation, but ultimately, I knew something was off and I knew that we had to go in. So I dropped Brian, kids off, took our only car, leaving him carless, and drove myself and True to the hospital. And when we got there, they started assessing him, and I just told him, I said, I know his oxygen is okay, and it's an okay level, but there is something else going on with him. That's when they drew his blood and sent him in for x-rays and noticed that his heart levels, blood levels were through the roof. He was in terrible shape, and his x-rays showed his entire cavity full of fluid. The kid was a mess, and that's when we found out that his heart was only functioning at 20%. When the doctors came in after the results from the tests, they just looked at me and they're like, this is really serious. Your son's in heart failure. And we are taking him straight to the ICU. Immediately, my world around me just collapsed. So I called Brian and I said, you need to get here. Our son's in heart failure. And I don't know if he's gonna make it. And I'm really scared. But I had the car. And Brian was on the other side of the island with the kids, stuck in the middle of the night with no way to get to the hospital.
And so I remember Brian giving me a call. He goes, hey, Bishop, this is Brother Hunt. He says, well, we're the family that's been coming to your ward for the past 2 weeks. I got out of the car with my two girls, and there's this long dirt road, and I can remember the look on Brian's face. You know, like any other father, a loving father, you could see he was anxious. He was so anxious to get to his son.
He took me to the hospital. He actually gave me a big hug. He was the first person that I saw.
When he hugged me, he said that he had felt like it was the Savior picking him up. You know, I don't really view myself like that. I'm grateful that the Lord could use me at that time to lift somebody up and embrace him and help him feel comfortable and help him know that it was going to be okay.
Because I felt so alone and isolated in that hospital room, I immediately reached out to social media. I posted on my Instagram and I said, anyone out there, please pray for him. Because I need help. He needs help. And it was amazing to me to see how quickly a community came together in one purpose to pray for my kid. People I never met, people from all over the world started praying for True. And over the next few days, we really felt those prayers. We felt like the strength was just exponential.
So once I got to the hospital, the next day or so was True's kind of hardest time in the hospital, where his heart function started to shut down more and more.
I remember falling asleep at his bedside, holding his hand, and probably closed my eyes for what felt like 3 minutes, only to be woken up by a rush of doctors and nurses coming into his room. And
being pushed aside and telling, they told me I needed to step out of the room because his heart and lungs were filling up with fluid and he was no longer able to breathe on his own. The doctor just said to us, he said, what I'm about to do, I'm about to intubate your boy, but with a heart as sick as his, it doesn't always go well. But this is our last chance to save him. And we're gonna have to do it and try. And I looked at Brian and I said, this is it. And he looked at me and he said, we're gonna be okay. Whether that means that he's gonna make it or not, we're gonna be okay. We just prayed together in that hallway. Just, it's all we could do.
It reminded me of that scripture where it says, be still and know that I'm God. It was just the most still, quiet moment you could imagine. You feel so helpless, like a little speck in this world, and you know that God is real, like, because it just, in that moment, his life hung in the balance and there was a decision point as to, like, should we let him stay with his family or should we bring him home to our family in heaven? And we were just blessed that he let him stay with us.
We here at Lifelight, we were called to pick up True. They were working on stabilizing him in Hawaii for several days. The biggest reason he was being transported, he might need mechanical support. So it would be a much higher level of care than they can provide in Hawaii, but we can provide it pretty easily here. We loaded the family, we took off, and probably within an hour, for me as one of the providers, it was very reassuring to see the parents fall asleep. Because they were so exhausted from all this. They were so reassured that he was heading home that they were able to sleep for the first time in several days.
Once they took him off the ventilator, he wasn't immediately himself. Like, he was basically just
a shell of a person.
Yeah, just kind of, he wasn't really there. Like, his, you could tell it wasn't him.
And that was really scary. But again, through some miracle, one day he wakes up and he looks at me and he smiled at me and he had never done that before. And it was just, I knew he was in there. Word got out that True was a huge BYU fan, and before we knew it, I got a phone call saying that there was a team of linebackers coming to visit True in the hospital. He was so excited. And then after that, we got another phone call saying that True was invited to come meet the entire team. It was the best phone call that we've ever received. It was surreal to look at him and just think that he had been fighting for his life just weeks before this, and now here he is surrounded by his favorite people in the world, the BYU football players. I just was so grateful in that moment. Now True is back to the boy that we knew before. He still is having to do checkups with the heart team and still on the process of recovery. It definitely has changed our perspective. It just makes you aware that there's so much going on around us. Everyone around us has a story.
You feel like you can do better to help them. You feel like you can be an angel in their lives, just like we had angels in our lives. So
we had so many angels in our lives.
We are all brothers and sisters of a loving Heavenly Father. And we should act that way. We should treat everyone that way.
When you think something is hopeless, it's not always the way it appears. Sometimes hope is the best thing we have at the time.
True story. It helps me understand, like, how important each one of us is.
And that True's really loved.
He's obviously got something in store for his life, and he's needed here. One of the things that I felt like I could do at least was just share a testimony, just share a witness of this miracle. That sometimes they do happen, that God really does still live, that Jesus is real, that he can heal people the same way that he healed people when he was here.
Powerful story of True Hunt, who was saved by a miracle, and a strong testimony of God's love and influence as well. And the BYU football team could be there to support him. You see his little Y up there, the cutest thing ever. And we're glad that True is still with us.
At practice last night, I had gone over to get my pregame interview, and it was a true blue night. And I don't know anything about the family, but I felt the spirit. And those players, what they do is far more than play football.
Yep.
And what they can mean to other people is immense. And just watching last night them interact with this family that I knew nothing about, I felt the spirit so strong. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that they are willing to do what they do.
I went with Steve Vail, our friend, who's been calling men's volleyball for over 20 years. He was a true blue hero this year, and it was one of the greatest experiences ever for him to be embraced by the team and for them to learn his story. And they still ask me about, hey, how's our guy Steve doing? They're part of the experience. They're part of the team. And they give them gifts, and they honor them. But it's not a thing for just public consumption. Yep. To, hey, look what we do, PR. They mean it. And it's bigger than football. So True Blue Hero is a really great program, and we're glad that the BYU can do that and be an influence. And what sports mean, right? It's at the end of the day, it's nothing compared to what matters here, especially here, as we have a perspective that goes beyond the field. But a beautiful story, and we appreciate that story a few moments ago.
Yeah, and if you missed any interview shows or certainly any of our Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com. You can download the BYU TV app and get all the BYU TV sports content on demand.
Up next, we'll get an inside scoop on Arizona State from Chris Cartman, who covers the Sun Devils for 24/7 Sports. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Everyone is very talented. We're going to have to come with our A game.
I think BYU will also come in with a chip on their shoulders because they feel like they've got something to prove.
Two defenses that have been stopping the run well and two offenses that have been struggling to score some points.
Big game, BYU at Arizona State coming up Saturday afternoon. Welcome back to Studio B. Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd for a preview of the matchup between the Sun Devils and the Cougars. We welcome in Chris Cartman, publisher of SunDevilSource.com for 24/7 Sports. Chris, welcome to the program. We're excited about the game Saturday, man.
Good to be with you guys. It's definitely the biggest game in ASU probably since 2014, so it's going to be exciting.
It's been a minute, and preseason, yeah, nobody thought that this would be the matchup that would be perhaps deciding one of the teams to go to the Big 12 title game.
It's a fun year, right? You know, the expansion of the Big 12 college football playoff conversation, 12 teams. It's felt like, for ASU at least, this has already been a playoff for the last few weeks because they have not been able to afford losing any game. And they continue to exceed expectations, beating Kansas State, a ranked opponent on the road, their most impressive win of the season, and now they're going to have to do it again if they want to stay alive.
I think a lot of people, the initial answer to this question would be Scataboo. What would you say is the biggest strength or maybe the identity of this team? Because saying Scataboo, it could be accurate, but I think it somewhat shortchanges the entire team and what the entire team has been able to do. So what do you think is the strength and the identity of this team?
I would say that he personifies the strength and the identity of the team, which is cultural toughness. He did a great job leading the offseason workouts, got more athletic, leaner, improved his body, his athleticism, breaking off a lot more explosive runs, 1,000 rushing yards, 300 receiving yards, the only player in FBS to accomplish that. And I think that personified what they were trying to be and what they're all about. Kenny Dillingham loves to talk about, we're going to have more fun working harder than any team in the country. And when you look at similarities between ASU, BYU, even Utah, where Kalani Sitake and some of his assistants came from, you see a through line, which is that cultural toughness, tenacity, and that is why I think that this game is as big as any in the Big 12 this season.
It's going to be fun for a million reasons. One score games, both teams have been good in these. Arizona State 5-1, BYU 4-1 in those? Do you feel like this could come down to one score and that could tip it?
That's my expectation. ASU's done a great job coming from behind in some of these games, fourth quarters. And I feel like these teams are very evenly matched and it's going to be very competitive. They're among the top, if not the two top teams in turnover margin. So my sense is we're going to be looking at a nail biter here probably in the fourth quarter.
Well, we don't want to shortchange what Sam Levitt's done coming in at the quarterback position. And it, honestly, the guy's just a tough guy. He's a good quarterback, but he's just tough and he's willing to put his body out there for his team. What has he meant to this program coming in this season?
He also embodies this identity that they have. He suffered a cracked rib earlier in the season, only missed one game. He's someone that will dive head first, trying to go pick up first downs. There's some similarities with Jake Retzlaff. I know you guys have him on the screen there. And they both have a lot of moxie, tenacity. They're fiery in terms of the way that they play. That, I think, is infectious across the rosters that they have, and where I've seen improvement with Levitt throughout the season is with his footwork, his ability to throw the ball on time, accurately down the field. That was an issue early on in the season as he worked to get chemistry and timing down, but he's only thrown four interceptions. He throws very few Jeopardy balls for a young first-year starting quarterback. BYU's been great at taking away the football from opponents. And so I'm interested to see which team comes down on the top end of that one this week.
Yeah, protecting the football, he's been incredible at it. BYU's been taking it away a ton. But as you mentioned, turnover margin the same. Also with Sam Levitt, his brother Dallin was at BYU for a couple years before he went to Utah State, played in the NFL for a few years. Their dad played here. I know Sam was on BYU's radar from Michigan State when he went in the portal. And then in the Valley of the Sun, there's a ton of BYU fans. So the connections are strong. What kind of atmosphere and crowd do you expect given the excitement for ASU football again this season and the number of BYU fans who live in the Valley?
Yeah, this is going to be a sellout. It should be a great environment. Kenny Dillingham said that it's actually been louder on third downs in home games than it has been on the road, which has led to some breakdowns for ASU's defense due to some communication issues. So both of these teams are going to have to be prepared with silent snapping cadence and anything else that they have to do to make sure that they're able to execute. I think this will be one of the best atmospheres that we've seen in a very long time, probably going back to when ASU won 10 games back to back in 2013 and 2014. ASU hosted Notre Dame in 2014. The teams were ranked 9 and 10 nationally, and that was probably the biggest game that we've seen in the stadium in a long time. We have to go back between now and then to get to a game that has as much meaning. I've been to visit Provo, and BYU atmosphere is as good as any as I've seen in the country. ASU had a terrible performance on the road up there a few years ago, and crowd noise was a major factor in ASU having its most penalized game in a very long time. And so I think ASU fans will probably want to repay that to some degree on Saturday.
It's wild to see Jaden Daniels' success, obviously, after he went to LSU and now with the Commanders. But in that game, it featured one of the craziest plays you and I and Shep have ever seen in our lives. The interception, the run back, Tyler Allgeier punching that ball out. That was a massive play in that game. I'm not sure BYU wins that game, Chris, if Tyler Allgeier doesn't make the play of his life.
100%. Merlin Robertson's going to be thinking about that for the rest of his I'm sure. And Tyler Allgeier was one of my favorite players to watch because of just his physical presence and his toughness and what he brought from a cultural standpoint. And you can't underestimate that. It's in some ways that is kind of similar to Cam Scadaboo. He's not ever going to be the fastest or the most elusive, but he's going to make you feel his presence and he's going to rally guys around him. And that Tyler Allgeier to me personified that.
With the four Pac-12 schools coming into the Big 12 this year, there was a lot of talk about, you know, maybe some not too happy to be joining the Big 12 and leaving what they had in the Pac-12 with the way this season has gone. How's ASU feel about the Big 12 right now?
Yeah, I was just saying on one of our podcasts that this move was probably the best thing that could have happened to ASU athletics. Look at last year in the Pac-12. They had Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, three first half of the first round draft picks. And I felt like in almost every year, ASU was not as athletically talented as one or more teams in the Pac-12. But when you look at this conference, the quarterback play, other than maybe Shedeur Sanders, I don't think there's a first rounder out there this year. Maybe there won't be next year. We'll see. But the talent level, there's more parity. You guys, I'm sure, would agree that so many of these games are one score games, point spreads of only 3 points, no matter what the records sort of are. And that's fun and exciting, but it also gives a team like ASU the opportunity to feel like it can be right there at the top of the conference in any given year if it performs and executes in the way that it has this year. Only the second season of Kenny Dillingham, they have almost 80 new scholarship players on their roster from the team that he inherited 2 years ago. And they're young, with a lot of guys who will be back next year. And this all together creates a very exciting time for Sun Devil fans.
Notably, Tate Romney, who was at BYU, is one of the linebackers who fits in there. I have a son named Tate, so I'm always a fan of Tate Romney. Love the family. I want to finish with this. These two teams will meet up for the first Big 12 game in men's basketball coming up on New Year's Eve in Provo. How do Bobby Hurley and the Sun Devils look so far at 5-1?
Pretty talented. They have a trio of freshmen. Jaden Quainance was a five-star post player along with Josan Sanon. He's one of the best young shooters in the country. He's shooting over 50% from three through six games. They're 5-1. Defensively, they have some work to do to get on the same page and play with a consistent intensity. But they have a squad that can be competitive in the Big 12. I'm not going to say they're going to finish in the top half of the Big 12. There's a lot, like seven or eight teams that could be in the top 25 deep into the season. So it's a gauntlet, but they're going to threaten some teams and or have some big wins this season, including potentially on the road.
Well, we look forward to the big game in football coming up on Saturday. Men's Soup's Big 12 opener coming up on New Year's Eve. Chris, we appreciate the time.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate being with you guys. Thanks.
Check out Chris's stuff on sundevilsource.com for 24/7 sports.
Speaking of 24, number 24, BYU Women's Volleyball hosts Cincinnati tonight at the Smith Fieldhouse. You can watch it at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
ASU got good women's volleyball too, by the way. Top 15, they're awesome. Coming up, rise and shout to one of the GOATs. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day: are your expectations for Cougar football right now to make the college football playoff or bust? At Spencer Rosenhan on X. No, I'll be happy to make the Big 12 championship game and then take whatever happens, despite outperforming preseason expectations, being 9-0 and then failing to make the conference championship game, would still be an epic collapse. It would be disappointing
would
to be 9-0 and not make that title game. So, win on Saturday. Ari Lee, voice of the day, is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at Y for Life on X. No, it's playoffs or bonus. I'm guessing 99% chance it's bonus. For me, that means Alamo Bowl or something in Texas. That's one way to look at that. That's one way to look at that.
That is a very healthy way to look at it.
It probably is a healthier way. Yeah. Today's Rise Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Congratulations to one of the GOATs. Gino Auriemma becomes the winningest college basketball women's coach ever. Coach in women's basketball, that is, last night for Connecticut. BYU hosted Connecticut November 25th, 2008, lost 96-47. A young, aspiring play-by-play, me, was on this game. Gino Auriemma could not have been kinder or nicer to our crew.
Oh, look at those two.
That's also 20 pounds ago for me. But yeah.
Which way?
Through the gut. Gino was super cool. BYU got blown out. Didn't matter. It was a great experience, so Thanks to Gino for that awesome night. But yeah, BYU got blown out, but somehow it was still a good experience. Maya Moore in that game for Connecticut.
Isn't it funny though how you remember how well he treated
yeah.
you? Yeah. Like we remember stuff
Michael
like
Cooper
that.
At USC was great to yeah. me too. Like played for the Lakers. He was awesome. All right, thanks to today's guest, Chris Cartman, Sergeant Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows always on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Erica Lott. We'll see you tonight for women's volleyball against Cincinnati on ESPN+. And then tomorrow, game day eve. Go Cougs! Come on, baby!